Thank you and welcome. Where this study was done is in western Kansas, which is in the Ogallala Aquifer region. Very similar environment also to as it extends down into North Texas. So we're working in a semi-arid region where we're at moisture deficiency. This is also a very intensive cattle feeding area with the feedlots, a lot of big dairies moving in, 10,000 plus head kind of dairies, a lot of stocker operations that graze the wheat also. And we rely heavily on this Ogallala Aquifer region for irrigation. Unfortunately, the Ogallala Aquifer in this part of the area is declining rapidly, and so that's creating some challenges to this livestock industry. There's an interest to transition a lot of these production systems to more forages and maybe putting cattle on forages a little longer period of time. We are a corn deficit region. We ship corn in from all over, and corn is dense, so we can ship it. But when you start to try and truck hay, quickly becomes very costly. So there's interest in growing more forages, but the producers, we really lack proven rotations like we have for grain systems, whether it be a wheat fallow or a wheat summer crop fallow. So we started looking at several different rotations over a number of years. This is kind of a second phase of this work. The crops we were working with here is winter treated Kaylee, forage sorghum, and spring oat. So we had six rotations treatments. The first is just continuous forage sorghum grown no-till. The second is a winter treated Kaylee, forage sorghum, oat. And the number three and four are similar crops, the same crop sequence where we grow winter treated Kaylee, double crop forage sorghum, second year grow forage sorghum, and then the third year we grow oat. But we either grow that under no-till, or we implement a tillage after the oat prior to planting treated Kaylee. So a very reduced tillage, reduced till type of system, which that a lot of the producers, if they're going to do tillage, that's when they do it, is ahead of wheat. And then we also had a four-year rotation where we grew 2 years of forage sorghum after the double crop. And again, we had the no-till or minimum till. This was done at Garden City, Kansas, with about 490 millimeters or 19 inches of annual precipitation. And I'm going to be talking in not going to use metric units. I'm going to use English units because most of us like more that way. This was a split plot, randomized complete block design. We it was four replications, and all crop phases were present in all years. So this was quickly becomes a rather large study. We measured soil water at planting and harvest of all crops, quantified forage yield and forage quality, and then also some economics. We managed the plots, cutting about 3 or 4 inches, leaving about 3 or 4 inches of stubble height, because what we hope is to receive some moisture and have some regrowth to try and provide some ground cover to minimize soil erosion from blowing, and try to also help with reduce evaporation loss. So what we strive for is a forage sorghum residue when we get done that is greater than or comparable to a grain sorghum, and most times we wind up with more residue than a typical grain sorghum crop. And then winter treated Kaylee, we have less residue there than our winter wheat crop. Winter wheat is really an important crop in most of our rotations for the residue it provides. And then spring oat, providing us more residue than the typical fallow system. And the common grain-only type rotation would be a wheat, grain sorghum, fallow rotation. So this is just a picture of forage sorghum regrowth. We can oftentimes get a couple foot of regrowth and have some nice residue left over when we're done. And then if we have that regrowth, being that we're planted on narrow row spacing compared to 30-inch centers with grain sorghum, oftentimes we have a lot more ground cover, and then that can provide us the ability to capture some snow. Okay, looking at, there's a lot of data here, but I'm just going to touch on some of the main points. First of all, looking at yield across years, this first set of treatments here to the left is everything, is all the sorghum. And so the way to read this is the crop in phase is capitalized here. So we have the rotations, and then, so this is sorghum following sorghum. This is double crop sorghum following triticale. So this is all our sorghum treatments. This set of treatments over here is all the triticale crops, or triticale yield with triticale in the rotation. And then this last group over here is the oat in that rotation. So forage sorghum produced the most tonnage at about average across all of these. This is four site years, 2013 through this year's data, 2016. Winter triticale about 3,000 pounds and oats about 2,000 pounds. When we look at sorghum grown following triticale or following forage sorghum, there was no difference, but that full season yield was about average 7,400 pounds, which was more than the forage sorghum grown double crop right after triticale, which was 6,000 pounds. And then interesting, something we found across all these years is that triticale grown in minimum till yielded more than triticale grown in no-till. So the minimum till, almost 4,000 pounds, and no-till, about 2,000 pounds. And, you know, we think of no-till systems to save, store more soil moisture. When we look at plant available water at planting now of the different crops. And again, here, so this is the amount of soil water in inches in a 6-foot profile. We measured that gravimetrically. And then again, the same x-axis as the previous graph and the same layout. Sorghum had about 5 inches at planting, and triticale and oat had about the same amount, just over 3 inches of plant available water. So when the sorghum has a much longer fallow period ahead of it in that rotation, more time to accumulate and store soil water than the other two crops. When we look at sorghum grown after triticale or sorghum, we had about 5 inches, but then the double crop where we turn around and plant that right away, we're usually planting that within about 30 days of the triticale harvest. So we only have about 30 days of fallow when we grow this sorghum crop versus 200 days of fallow when we grow this crop, which is why we're seeing a more soil water available here. And this fallow period after triticale is a very short fallow period, and so we're seeing some pretty high storage efficiency during that time period. Now, when we look at triticale, interestingly enough, the minimum till, the reason why we're seeing that difference in yield has a lot to do with stored soil water. We're working with just over 4 inches where we did implement the tillage versus a no-till of 2.6 inches. So about a 2-inch difference here in soil water is the reason why that is. And I think what we're seeing here is a system that has, after oats, has very little residue. And so in a no-till system where we have a lot of residue, we have that residue to reduce evaporation. But in a real low residue type situation, that tillage is actually providing us a little bit of duff layer that's helping us to minimize some evaporation loss, it appears. We look at annual treatment yield, so we have to look at the yield of all these different crop phases and then put that on an annual basis so that we can compare the total forage production across these rotations of different lengths. And then, you know, we also have to consider these different rotations of when, as some of the earlier speakers talked about, when we're providing this forage and what other forage sources we have available and how that fits the need of the whole system. But we look at total forage yield. It's tough to beat sorghum. You know, it yields the most, and our fallow kind of system is where we grow oats. You know, we don't have that in the rotation, and so you know, we don't have that, and so we're able to have pretty high yield in that kind of system. You know, the next set of treatments is either the four-year rotation where we're growing oats less frequently, or where we had the minimum till head of triticale, and so our triticale yield was higher. The next set of treatments is the no-till three-year rotation, or the three-year rotation without the double crop. We put this on an economic analysis for all this data, and I also threw in here wheat grain sorghum fallow, and then simulated grazing of the oat in a TSO or the continuous forage sorghum. Right now, farm producers are only making about $14 per acre with the grain system, and that doesn't account any return for crop rent, which is about $30 per acre. So forage sorghum, continuous forage sorghum netted the most, but if you're in a system where you grow that much forage, hay forage, then you may have some real difficulty trying to sell that much residue. What's pulling down the grazing return here is trampling loss of about 65%, we estimated, and 50 in the with triticale oat. Quality, since I'm getting the signal behind me, real quickly, forage sorghum, much lower quality, and in the economics, we valued it at $70 a ton versus the $90 for triticale oats. So we touched on this. I'm going to bump it here. In summary, continuous sorghum, that rotation, highest yield and highest economic return. You know, we could maybe create some weed challenges over time, although we've been doing this for about 8 years and haven't seen that. But we're also growing forage. It's not as near and high in forage quality as triticale or oat. So our next best treatment we looked at was this four-year rotation with a tillage ahead of triticale for the reasons I explained. And this four-year rotation minimizes the use of oat. But the triticale and oat are providing us higher quality forage. And this is a system where we're growing forages through different times of the year, so a little less precipitation risk and more weed control options. Time for any questions?
You do.
All right.
We have two more minutes, so we do have time for a couple of questions if anybody has one.
Yes, sir. Sure, if you get with me, I can provide you all of that. But triticale, that's harvested about the first about the middle of June, and oats about the first of July, and forage sorghum would come off about the end of September. Any other questions? Well, thank you.
All right, let's thank our speakers.